about working on summer just to try to earn a dollar.
Everybody, before we get into the show, we just want to let you know tomorrow, Sunday, September 2nd, 5 p.m. Eastern, we're going to be doing a couch report about Dick's, The Weeknd, Phish, Summer Tour, Curveball, not Curveball, a lot of stuff. Tom Marshall will be joining me. Matt from HF Pod will be joining me. I think Jonathan will be joining, as well as hopefully Brian Brinkman from Beyond the Pond, and maybe some other special guests. So if you're couch touring and you want to tune in, please check out youtube.com/OsirisMedia. We'll put a link in the show notes. We're excited to bring you another couch report. And we hope everybody has a great Labor Day weekend. And I hope you enjoy this quick hit with me talking to Matt. Take it easy.
Hey, everybody. This is HF Pod, quick hit. I'm here with Matt. Matt, have you kicked the curveball blues?
Hell yeah, man.
How's it going out there? You're in Colorado, Rocky Mountain, HAF. Did you have fun last night?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm sitting right now on top of Lookout Mountain at the Buffalo Bill grave site. We wanted to get out, and as I mentioned on the quick hit to Dick's the other day, with my family out here, wanted to show them around a little bit. So came up here to check some things out before we got to do some other things today, and kind of still glowing from an amazing show last night. It was pretty special.
Yeah, were you, I think one question that my wife and I were talking about on our drive today is, were you surprised they didn't sort of do anything or acknowledge anything, or is it just, you know, they're moving on in terms of curveball?
I think, as far as that stuff goes, I would be very surprised if they did anything other than, you know, A, strong playing, but B, maybe a quick statement from Trace on Sunday night or something like, you know, sorry about everything, thank you, you know, we love you, his typical kind of mushy kind of stuff. I think that if they did any tongue-in-cheek song selection or harpoon or anything like that, it would be kind of putting the situation, like making light of it, and I don't think they want to do that. So I think that it seemed last night that they're on a mission to just kick ass this weekend, and I think that's the best thing they could probably do.
Yeah, that's fair. I was thinking, you know, it wouldn't be that hard for Trey to say two sentences at the very beginning, like, hey, guys, we're as heartbroken as you are about all this. Let's rock out together, you know, sort of thing. But that's, you know, their decision at the end of the day. I felt from listening back, like Trey was just on top of almost every jam with the exception of like the Mercury jam, which Mike was really driving. It just felt like Trey was just really in control all night. Did it feel like that when you were there?
Yeah. I mean, it was assertive with his playing, very out front, the whole band. Just it's, you know, when you see special shows, you know it. You know when they're on and when they're determined to play, and versus when they're kind of lackadaisical. So the playing was very strong. It was moved forward the entire night. I felt like they're always going somewhere. I would even say like things like, you know, the second set was fantastic. The only thing that you could point to as a slight lull was the theme from the bottom. Mm-hmm. But in other shows that weren't as strong, that might have been the place where they play like Joy. Mm-hmm. Or something like that. And they didn't do that. They played Theme from Bottom, and it got pretty rocking. So when you've got a 5-song second set, and the low point is Theme from the Bottom, in the middle of it surrounded by incredible improv, I think that speaks to the power of a great show.
Yeah. And the first set was really, really great, I think, and you know, had tons of jams. What was the scene like? What was the vibe like? Did you feel like they just jumped right into it?
Yeah, I mean, so, you know, as expected, the energy was incredible in the crowd when they came out. There was a roar that sort of built for like a couple of minutes before they even walked out on stage. And when the lights went down, it was probably more energy than I've felt in the room, so to speak, since Hampton 09. You know, really, everybody was just hungry about it. Huge ovation. And they got right to it and played basically a second set for the first set. I mean, it was just... I know people pointed like, oh, maybe they're playing the backwards show or something like that. But I think it was just, you know, they know that the best thing they can do that people are going to give them a thumbs up is to play 2-second sets. And that's what they did last night.
Yeah, I think a lot of fans still like, well, because they did it, you know, the show spelling something. But people expect them to like be as intricately interpretive about their stuff as like Umphreys or something. They just like a backwards show or something like that. That's just not happening. They're just going to play their music, which is cool. And man, that worked well last night. What was the highlight of the first set for you?
The ghost in the cross-eyed was fantastic. The segue was just perfect. And, you know, it seemed like it was almost too good to be true. And like, they got so close to cross-eyed that they kind of off for a second and almost didn't go there, and then Trey changed the keys and they went into a full steam ahead, and the place just blew up at that point. And just really, really well executed jams in both too. You know, I mean, you take that first set and you make it the second set of, I think, any show this summer, and it's a huge winner. And so for them to come out after 3 weeks off and play that kind of a statement was just fantastic.
And they it's funny because our last quick hit to Dix from 2000 was that amazing segue, the Drowned into Rock and Roll. And you got a segue almost as good last night. It seemed like the segue was really, really smooth.
Yeah. Yeah. I actually was thinking about that too. That was pretty cool to experience that. Cause I love a good segue, like I said on our last show. And this was one of the better ones that I've gotten to experience in person.
Awesome. And then the second set, maybe not surprising, No Men, which I think opened the second set of the first night of Dix last year. Trey loves playing that song. I love those lyrics. They've grown on me a lot, and it's such a nice jam vehicle, but he kind of got right into it.
Yeah. Yeah, they did. And that, you know, as good as that was, I would say of the four jammy songs in that second set, that was probably the weaker one. It felt like a little bit of a warm up.
Mm-hmm.
The true highlights were really the Carini, which was just relentless, and Trey's guitar tone. It felt to me like he had that the British Marshall tone coming out of his amps for a good part of that. It was very Jimmy Page, kind of aggressive sounding. And then the back half of that, and really where it peaked was the light. The light
jam
was just un-fucking believable. I mean, I was having such a great time in the entire show. I was getting a little bit tired. I think, you know, without going into too much detail, I had a crazy ordeal just getting to this show.
Yeah.
Travel snafus, and I had a medical issue this week, and I wasn't even sure what kind of shape I was going to be in for the show. And it was just one of those moments where I was practically in tears, just like looking around and seeing the energy. And you couldn't find a single person in the entire stadium that was not in a complete state of bliss.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, maybe the best light since the famous Dix light from 2012. I mean, it had that level of, you know, just a momentous peak.
Yeah, and not, fourth quarter sort of let down or whatever, right? Like saving the best for last, which is rare these days. Like they don't often, you know, jam the best at the very end of the show, which is nice. And hopefully sets us up for a great Saturday show. But it's interesting because the light came last, second set, and like you said, I thought that also, I agree with you about it being like the best sort of jamming. And but there was a Hood second slot, first set, so definitely some odd placements. You'd maybe expect that to be later or something, but man, they were almost all, according to Fishnet anyway, almost all segues the entire show, first set and second. The only not segue was Hood, between Hood and What's the Use, and everything else was and between Blazon and Ghost, and everything else was segues. So they were feeling it, but I just felt like Trey was really driving the musical conversation the whole night.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I definitely felt like that too. And you were right, it was pretty much continuous straight through. Even in the second set where like they started to almost peter out a little bit, I think it was out of the Carini, they just got weird for a while. They got very, very spacey. The crowd was so good. People were not chatty. People were just taking in, you know, the space that they were creating and letting it breathe. And, you know, on a beautiful Colorado night with a cool breeze coming through, it just was perfect.
That's awesome. And not a single ballad, not a single slow
song.
No,
that's what I'm saying. Like if you were to say, like, what was last night, it was probably Seen from the Bottom. That was the only song that even felt slow.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And Matt, I don't want to, I know you have stuff to do today and with your family and others, but what do you think about this What's the Use thing? It's appearing so much more frequently and in first sets and second sets and wherever. Do you feel like it's something that Trey is like just comfortable with as a song, or do you think it's like actually a statement to fans in some way? I don't know if that makes sense, but to me, because of the way that it just like alters the crowd, it's just it could be interpreted either way, I guess.
I blame you. because you told him about how
I wasn't setting you up for that, I swear. But it's crazy how often it shows up.
Yeah, no, it is. It's been weird, and it's one of those things as fish fans. I was thinking about this last night where they were playing, where it's like, you know, we love the song when it's a rarity, but as soon as they start playing it like just a little bit too frequently, it loses its luster. Exactly. Like I remember when they were playing Fluffhead pretty regularly back in like 2009 and 2010, and people were like, stop playing Fluffhead, you're taking the specialness away from it. You know, it's like after we begged for it for 10 years, and then it's like, no, don't do it. We want it to be special, which I can agree with that song. And the other thing I think is that the thing that for me it has more of an impact is the starting from a cold start. I like What's the Use better when it comes out of a jam. So that's a little bit weird. So I was disappointed that they dropped it early in the show and that it was standalone like that last night, except for the fact that the part going into the really cool silent section, they seem to get weird for like a minute or so. They kind of like didn't do the standard thing where they just get quiet. They Trey started adding some loops and there was some weird synth sounds and stuff like that. And I almost thought for a second maybe they were just going to go into a different song and not finish it. So maybe that's something they're testing out. I know they talked for a while before they played that song, so maybe that was something they were talking about changing it a little bit. But, you know, once again, when that's one of your biggest complaints you have about the show is like they play the standalone What's the Use? Right. I mean, you know, you're definitely winning.
Yeah. All right, so we'll let you get to your back to your beautiful Colorado weekend. Should we play some of the light jam for the folks out there who for some reason haven't heard it yet?
Yeah, I think that's the only way to go. You got to get that peak at the end of the light jam. Good luck finding, you know, trimming it to a couple minutes because there's so much good stuff there. But yeah, I think that's what we've got to recognize.
Cool, man. All right, well, thanks for joining us. Enjoy your weekend and have a good time at the Sunday shows. Somebody said something about a Sunday show once, so have a good time. And we'll hopefully talk to you tomorrow on the Couch Report.
Yeah, absolutely.